try, let's go. When the voices arise from the storm and the storm and what is good, what is good, what is really, really good, ladies and gentlemen. This is your boy James, aka Hollywood J Black, live in the building once again. Hold on, gotta drop down the camera real quick. Give me a second. Let's see. This one. It changes. There we go. What the hell? This is strange. What the fuck? All right, hold on. There we go. There we go. Hopefully we are live in effect. Yo, what is good? What is good, ladies and gentlemen? This is your boy, James, aka Hollywood J Black, live in the building once again. Doing it big. Live on YouTube right now. Live on my Facebook page because the sports page, Facebook hated. It is what it is. I can't control it. I can't complain. I'm just doing what it do like I'm doing it for TV. So with that said, hope everybody is having a wonderful week. Hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. And for those that don't know and those that are new to this, this is the Overtime Sports Show. Normally it's me and my man Big Sin, also known as Phil. However, he is busy doing some recording for the gaming page. Got a lot of good stuff on there. Some reviews on Final Fantasy, some reviews on a few games that came out. Actually, I think he's supposed to be doing a like a little put together for the State of Play that popped off. I think it was today. So you're gonna see him. You're gonna see him when you see him, right? Give me a second because you know on this on this page, I can't see any of my comments. You're just gonna have to give me a minute yet. So, did it overheat? Give me a second. I guess I have to keep touching it. Huh? That's what she said. So, so let's get right to it. Let's not even BS it, man. Let's keep going. Hold on. But I gotta throw on the thing. So, here we go. So I can see the comments if anybody comments. So now that I'm back in full effect, we got to talk about a couple things. First and foremost, we got to talk about the controversy going on in the NCAA. I'm sure if all you cats have been living under a rock, let me take all my glasses, that shine. So I'm pretty sure if you cats have been living all under a rock, the NCAA, the Pac-12, and the Big 12, two of the largest conferences in NCAA, have canceled their football seasons. Now, I don't know how much that means to you as the average sports fan. However, for me, it's kind of one of those things that we on the verge of probably having the whole fucking thing canceled, cuz it's like, what the hell are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? You got two of the largest conferences in football gone. They initially, when they had talked about this, this was supposed to be like everything is supposed to be interconference, no outer conference games. Everybody's supposed to be looking out for each other, respecting each other, blah 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 blah. And all of a sudden, Pac-12, Big 12 said, "No, we good, fam. We good. We out this bitch." You know what I'm saying? And so I'm just like, oh boy, Pac-12, Big 12. Meanwhile, the SEC in all its infinite glory have decided that they are going to continue this little soiree. So, yo, I don't know how this is going to go. The SEC is also the largest conference in football, also the richest conference in football. It makes for some strange bedfellows, right? So I don't know how this one's going to go. This is going to be something new. This is uncharted territory with this coronavirus shit. I mean, the NFL's full steam ahead. They're taking the necessary precautions. I'm not sure, outside of the money factor, why college football would be like, oh, we can't fucking do this shit. So the word on the street is that it is a money issue, that a lot of these places, like, you know, these stadiums, if anybody's ever been to a college football game, a lot of these stadiums fit 100,000 people. 100,000 people is a lot of revenue. Let's say if you only charge $35 to get into a game, we know that there's bigger tickets and we know that there's more. So if every ticket was $35 to get into a game and a stadium fits 100,000 people, that's $3.5 million lost at the minimum every single week, especially if you're a good team. A team like Michigan, who was in the Big Ten, they easily, their stadium fits 100K easily. Ohio State, their stadium fits 100K easily. If they keep running these, you know, run the season without fans, that's millions and millions upon dollars. If, let's say, the season, the teams are at home, what, six games out of the year? That's $3.5, $4 million at the minimum lost every single home game. That's $24 million. Like I said, bare minimum, because we're literally talking about, like, again, if the tickets were $35, which, you know, it's not the case. The closer you get, the more you pay. UCF game, the closer you sit, is well into the thousands of dollars ever since they got good. And so, especially like a team like Florida, Florida State, they stand to lose tens of millions of dollars because they aren't open and they can't have fans. And they probably don't know if they can support their football team. Look at all these scholarships they hand out. Look at all the side money on the table loot that they hand out. You know, you think about that. You put that all into perspective and you're like, you know what? It just might go down. This might just be the problem. This is the only thing that I can think of that in the NFL, not the NFL, the NCAA football, reason why the Big 12, the Pac-12 cannot hold games. They're going to lose money, a lot of it, which makes you think they probably could just hold it at a practice stadium. But they probably came in, they probably came in for that right now. Student attendance is going to be lower. You know, a lot of people staying home. They can't go to class. A lot of schools, physical schools, are going to be closed. A lot of classes aren't offered online, delaying how many classes that people are having to take. And it's going to come to some point where you're just like, this shit ain't going to be worth it. This shit ain't going to be worth it for them. It really is not. It really is not. So we got to, like, you got to consider that there might not be a football season to come back to. There really might not. We might have to actually say that there's not going to be an NCAA football season. It's a wrap. I feel like I'm under that impression. I think maybe the only team that's going to hold one is the SEC, because the reality is, and as much as people hate it, the SEC carries the entire NCAA. Don't believe me? Who are the last 10 national champions? Because there's two. I mean, it runs with the SEC, the ACC. When's the last time a Pac-12, a Pac-10 team has won a championship? I think the Texas was the last team to win a national championship for the Big 12. Outside of that, don't forget the sports books with all the games not played. Exactly. They're losing money. And, you know, they like to pay a few players a little here and there, you know, a little Pete Rose action. Right? So all that money's gone. It's gone. It's a wrap. They ain't no more money on that end. I don't know. This is going to be wild. This is going to make for some decisions are going to have to be made. Some tough ones are going to have to be made. And I don't know how this is all going to end. little all that money, yeah. No, and you're right. You're right, Toby. You, Mixon, said it exactly right. I talked to Mixon about this a while back. He was like, yeah, the sports books have been closed because can't nobody go in because, shit, man, everybody's just used to watching the game and celebrating winning or getting pissed off that they're losing. So it's one of those things. Shit is tough, bro. Shit is tough. Shit is not a fucking game. And I don't know how we're going to continue. I don't know where we're going to go from this from now on, bro. Like, I wish that I could be like, yo, we're going to go this route or this a modified route. But I really, honestly, dead to God, think that there's not going to be an NCAA football season. If that doesn't happen, all hell's going to break loose. The books are going to be... The books are barely hanging on because of the basketball and baseball. And baseball, the St. Louis Cardinals are ruining it for everybody by spreading the fucking coronavirus. I'm pretty sure, Toby, you've heard about what happened down in Miami. The Cardinals came to play Miami, and 14 players caught coronavirus. Now the word is Yoenis Cespedes didn't walk away from the team. He was suspended from the team because he was caught partying out instead of being in the not so bubbly bubble of the Mets. So that is something to consider. I don't know. This whole coronavirus shit is a mess. Like, I can't even call it anymore. I don't even know where we're going to be at it. At some point, this has just gotten ridiculous, man. Like, super ridiculous. And it's gotten ridiculous for no reason. That's the worst part about it. None of this mess didn't even need to happen. But it did. And that's where we're at. We're in a shitty place right now. And then so many economies are devastated. So many lives have been devastated because of this corona shit, man. Like, and now the $100 million contract may be a thing in the past. No. Quarterback is always going to be the star of the show. So I think as far as quarterbacks, that's the $100 million contract. As long as there's a face of a franchise, I think that'll always stay. But as far as skill positions go, yeah, bro, listen. Now that the XFL is in play, okay, because The Rock now owns the XFL. For everybody that's been living under a rock, no pun intended. The Rock owns the XFL. I actually tweeted out to The Rock today to ask him about, you know, are they going to be looking for, you know, NCAA stars that can't play a football season? Are they going to be looking to bring them in so they can get paid? Because, you know, the schools can't slide that money under the table to keep them there. They can't. They just can't. It just ain't going to happen. They ain't no money to give. Top that with the fact that, yeah, can't pay what you don't make. But I still think that they're going to pay a quarterback jersey sales. I don't think there's any non-quarterback that is does not lead like top 10 sales. Like, I'd have to look up the jersey sales because at the very least we have those, right? But we still have TV deals. See, that's the other part about this that people don't realize is the TV deals. As long as you're willing to watch football, people advertisers are willing to pay for advertising spots to watch football. Bud Light, Budweiser, Coors, like, you know what I'm saying? All these companies that advertise weekly are willing to throw a boatload of cash. Do you know, like, I think it was $1 billion worth of ads during Super Bowl weekend? And do you know that would be awesome if we could have a freaking Super Bowl? They're probably going to be triple charging. Dude, the NBA right now, you got to pay to virtually be in the crowd in the NBA. That's something to think about, man. I'm in the wrong business. I should have thought about virtual reality technologies and all that mess, man. I should have done that. I don't know, man. I don't know. But this no football business is rough. I don't know. I can't call it. I don't know who to blame. I gotta blame somebody. Maybe I blame China, Canada. Who knows? I'm gonna blame somebody, goddammit, shit. So the next set of news that I want to talk about now that I've ranted for 15 minutes, well, maybe 13 minutes, who fucking knows? I've ranted to talk about football. We got to talk about something else that kind of drew my ire. And Toby, you're probably going to be interested in this one, seeing as you're of Caucasian descent, sir. So the big hype in the NBA right now is Luka Doncic, guard for the Dallas Mavericks, a European guy, probably one of the best players in the NBA right now. He's just been killing it. Just killing it, killing it, killing it, killing it. And Shannon Sharpe goes on the, on his Undisputed show with Skip Bayless, drops one of the hottest takes of 2020 to me. This is, and which is, and I quote, "If Luka Doncic was black, he'd be the talk of the town." Now, I don't know about you, okay? However, what I do know is this. Real basketball fans love and respect Luka Doncic, okay? They love his game. They love his style. They love that he just comes in, plays really good fucking basketball, and leaves. He doesn't do all these flashy interviews. There's no sound bites. There's no shit talking. There's none of that mess. Luka doesn't even go there, right? He comes in, plays basketball, and leaves. If he was on the San Antonio Spurs, he'd be the perfect Greg Popovich prodigy. But the comment was said that if he was black, he would be the talk of the town. And the first thought when I heard this from Shannon Sharpe is that I said, this ain't it, bro. This is not it. This is perhaps, out of all the things that we're fighting with racism, like this is reverse racism, bro. Like, and I don't mean to throw, you know, anybody on the bus when it comes to that, but this is literally what it is. The reality of the situation is this. Luka Doncic is not praised by non-casual NBA fans, not because of the color of his skin. Because the reality is that there was a white guy, one of the flashiest NBA players that ever graced the floor. He's also an NBA champion. Jason Williams, also known as J. Will. Anybody that watches basketball, you tell them about J. Will and you show them, they'd say that dude is one of the dopest white boys in the world. Okay? Because he could do with the basketball what Magic Johnson could do with the basketball. He wasn't a good inside scorer like Magic was. He didn't dominate his opponents like Magic did because he was 6'9 playing point guard. However, what he lacked in size, he made up for it in intelligence and ball flashiness. This dude was doing James Harden dribble moves, and instead of going to score, he'd pass it. Exactly, Toby. He lets the game talk for himself. Hold on. I got to figure out this camera situation. This shit's going to go wild. I don't know. I think I got to change something in the settings. Probably set this bitch to like 30 on a timeout. Sorry. So, Luka Doncic is, again, his game is not flashy. His game, he doesn't dunk like Vince Carter. He doesn't overall flash like Michael Jordan. He's not a dead eye. Like he doesn't do Kobe shit. He doesn't even have a really good three ball. The reality, though, is that when it comes down to it, Luka Doncic at the top of the key with multiple options is the most dangerous basketball player in the NBA right now. He's not like super strong. He's not super streaky, but he's deceptively quick. And when I say deceptively quick, I mean like, just imagine a guy like me, my size, able to move around the basketball court like Kobe Bryant. That's deceptively quick. It doesn't even look the part either, but he's legitimately one of the best NBA players that's out there. Just like Toby said, you let the game speak for itself. He doesn't go out and talk no trash. He doesn't do no sound bites. He comes in, plays basketball, leaves. Comes in, plays basketball, leaves. Comes in, play basketball, leaves. And that's what he does. So for Shannon Sharpe to make the comment that, you know, that it's his color of his skin that prevents him from being in the upper echelon of people who talk in the NBA is probably one of the most idiotic statements and borderline racist statements that I've ever heard. The reality of the situation is that he's not over the top and flashy like the people that you're discussing amongst the greatness. Kobe used to go in and talk shit about people, but he'd back it up on the court. Vince Carter, he dunked the shit out of you. You know what I'm saying? And do his thing and then do the, you know, the top, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, sounds like MJ of old, fundamentally sound. Like I say, he doesn't have to dunk, so he's not going to dunk on you and slam on you like that. But it's extremely fundamentally sound. If you could give Magic Johnson's court awareness, MJ's athleticism, and Larry Bird's, you know, mid-range jumper, you'd have Luka. And then mix it in with a little bit of Dirk's nonchalant, not shit-talking ways, maybe a little bit of Tim Duncan's work ethic, and you have him. You have Luka Doncic. And like I said, I'm just upset because I'm like, why are we bringing race into this? Is something that we don't need to bring race into. Okay, basketball is supposed to be bringing us together, Shannon, and not like pulling us apart. He's just not that flashy of a player, but he doesn't need to be. That's the best. That's what I love about Luka the most. He's not like everybody else. He's what every basketball player should strive to be. He is what when people decide they want to be football players or basketball players, you get the fundamentals down first. You get the footwork. You get the shot. You do everything that you're supposed to do first to get all that right. Before you then start talking shit and start doing dunks and flashy passes and all that, Luka Doncic is the most fundamentally sound basketball player in the NBA point playing period. Yeah. Oh, no. See, MJ, though. No, MJ in the beginning used to not talk trash. MJ, once he got to the second championship, you watch that Last Dance, Toby. He was a killer. He took everything personally. Which is why I can't wait to hear what a Luka biography would be like in 20 years. Maybe he takes everything personally. Who fucking knows, right? But, man. So, that one is on my list. I got some in my eye because I don't know what the fuck it is. Maybe somebody slapped me in my face. I don't fucking know. Reality of the situation is that I love Luka. Shannon, need to calm your ass down, dude. Like, this ain't it, bro. Like, this... That statement about, you know, if he was black, this ain't it. None of that reverse racism BS. Dead that shit, dude. Got dead all that. That's not gonna work. We don't like that here. That's not how this goes, sir. Okay, it's not how this goes. Finally, we did the NFL opt-outs. Not too many big names. Not too many. He says, your finger, yeah, probably my finger. I got to get the finger out my face because I don't know. But the NFL opt-outs, we're still a few light names, nothing major, which means it's business as usual. The XFL right now, it's still the Rock still owns the XFL. They approved the sale, so that's straight. Major League Baseball needs to get their shit together. They need to fix this coronavirus shit, so that's straight. NHL playoffs start soon. I think they already started. I got to look into that. I think Vegas is out there kicking ass, though. So shout out to VGK every day, all day. Hope everybody is doing wonderful. Hope everybody has had a great week. We're headed into the weekend, a nice relaxing one. Not really too much hype going on this weekend, but NBA season, the restart drawing to a little bit of a close. We're headed to the playoffs and also a play-in game. And we're going to break all of that down. So grab yourself some popcorn. You know, grab yourself a nice little cold one or something like that, because we about to ready to get this thing cracked. So, without further ado, everybody knows who I am. If you've been watching this show, I'm Hollywood J. Black, co-host, co-owner of the this wonderful Sinful Black entertainment conglomerate, as we like to do. Let me grab my drink real quick. Hold on. Ew, it's empty. We'll just grab this one. No big deal. No big deal. So, again, happy Friday. Got a lot to discuss, a lot to break down, a lot to go over. I promise I won't take too much of your time. But yes, we're going to have some fun tonight. So, first things first, the NBA restart was a complete and utter success. We gotta talk about this because, I mean, a lot of us had our doubts. A lot of us wondered if they could pull this off before this thing happened. A lot of us wondered if the bubble was going to be feasible. A lot of us talked about, we was like, I don't know about the damn bubble. You know what I'm saying? They just bubbling people up, and you know what I'm saying? And, you know, shit's just getting weird out here. You know, I don't know what's going to go on. And so at the same time, we was like, it just might work. If everybody can follow the rules and everybody can just rally around each other, LeBron can get everybody on point, you know what I'm saying? We was going to be okay. We ain't had nothing to worry about. Everything was going to be fine. And that's exactly what happened. Everybody kind of rallied around each other for the sake of basketball. And we had ourselves some amazing games, some thrillers. We've seen records broken. We've seen James Harden at his finest, Dame Lillard at his finest. Dame Lillard, that's the story of the century, and I can't wait to see what happens in the play-in game, and we're going to go over that in a little bit. But the stars came out to shine, and there were stars there who were playing hurt. Some people didn't start until later. It was just a mixed bag of emotions and activity that was beyond anything that I could have even thought of. I was, like, every time I turned on the game, it was either the ass whooping that these people deserved, or the game was one of these close nail biters that reminded you of playoff basketball. Because essentially, in the bubble, every game counted, especially if you were one of the lower seeds. And let me rephrase that. So every game did count for the most part, because seeding was really mattered. Because some matchups you didn't want to happen. Some teams didn't want to face certain teams because they weren't built to take on those certain teams and could get upset. Philly at some point were what? They were the number one seed at some point, and now they're the number six seed in the Eastern Conference. We have Memphis and Portland vying for the number one seed. The number nine seed. And that matchup is going to be stellar because it's when you're in, doubt you're out. And that's it. A lot of other in-between stuff. We had James Harden and Russell Westbrook trying to get his squad, you know, deeper into the postseason. I can't wait. We got Houston and OKC in the first round. I'm hoping Russ is back for that one. We need that one. James Harden, though, looks like he can do it by himself this year with the way that this team is built. Small ball, yeah, the centers are going to dominate, and that's fine. We understand that. That's any given day when it comes to the Rockets because of the way that they play. However, when the Rockets are at their best, James Harden at his best, I mean, essentially they had 4 months off. 4 months off to do what, you know, to get right. Probably 4.5 if you really push it. And so now we've come to the point where this is gonna, man, fresh James Harden in these playoffs is one of the most dangerous dudes. And if they can get Russell Westbrook right, man, listen, are they ready? The Rockets are probably the sleeper team in the NBA playoffs right now. They are the team that everybody is scared of, the team that I would want to face. I mean, OKC was the other team that nobody wanted to face in these playoffs, and guess what? Those two teams are now playing each other. That one's going to be fun because there are two positives that are going to negate each other out, and then I don't know what the hell is going to happen. Who would have thought that OKC, after getting rid of their best player, would end up being the number three seed? That's something to think about, man. Listen, that is – Chris Paul has that team running on something else, bro. Dallas is a team that nobody wants to play. Luka is on fire. And a fully focused Dallas Mavericks team going into the playoffs, they're going to be headhunters. The team and whoever between Memphis and Portland specifically, full health. Portland at full health is going to go. If they go against the Lakers, that's going to go to seven. Dame Dollar, especially now that he got the cover of 2K, Dame Dollar ain't gonna sleep on this one. That shit's going to go to seven. Lakers aren't deep enough to deal with the Portland, and Nurkic is back. Portland with Nurkic back is the most dangerous, is a dangerous team. Y'all don't understand how good Jusuf Nurkic is. Nurkic is deceptively fast. If anybody watched that game yesterday, anybody watched that game between Portland and Brooklyn, watch that game. Watch what Jusuf Nurkic is. He's not really an excellent defender, but he's decent. On the offensive board, he has those post moves like Porzingis, right? But he's not as soft as Porzingis. Nurkic will take it to the cup. And if you somehow find a way to get past Nurkic and make him look good, Whiteside is coming off the bench. So that is a problem. That is a complete problem. How do you deal with that? How do you come into an NBA game and just be like, oh, you know, I'm gonna try and deal with Nurkic and Whiteside, because you know whose job that's gonna be? That's gonna be Anthony Davis's job, and Anthony Davis has had problems against Nurkic. He hasn't been playing this year, but he played him last year when he was in New Orleans. Nurkic gave that dude problems. This is going to be something else. This ain't going to be no joke. And even if somehow Portland doesn't get in, Memphis will push the Lakers. Like I said, I think Memphis can steal one or two games, but they're going to push LA. That youth movement that's going down in Memphis, this is going to be a learning tool for them if they get in. This is going to be a lesson. Like I said, they ain't going to win the series. I don't think they can upset the Lakers now. Not the way that they're built. They came in basically with their – this was their playoffs to lose. And now that they lost so many games in a row. And then to come win a couple games at the tail end, but Portland is streaky. I don't know if Memphis can do it. I don't know if they can pull it off. If they can, then they can. But if you're asking me right now, Portland's that good right now. Dame Dollar's that good right now. The starting lineup, dude, you understand. You got Nurkic as a center. You got Melo playing power forward. You got CJ McCollum playing small forward. Gary Trent at the shooting guard. And your boy Dame Dollar at the point. Even if they don't want to run that lineup, they drop Melo to the small forward. They bring in another power forward. They bring in the other tall white dude. They bring him in at the power forward. And it's just a bunch of problems in that Portland starting five that you got to deal with. And then on top of that, you got to deal with that bench with Whiteside. Even if Gary Trent comes off the bench, it's nasty. It's just nasty. It's all bad. And Dame Dollar's coming for next. Paul George should have never opened his mouth. Paul George fucked this shit up. Paul George, I bet if Paul George and Pat Beverly would have never opened their mouth, we wouldn't be seeing this Dame Dollar. Wouldn't be seeing him. Y'all done fucked up. Y'all really done screwed this one up. This is on y'all. So if somehow Portland gets in, then somehow Portland deals with LA, he's going to have an opportunity to just go through all the LA teams, all the West Coast teams, all the way through. And what you going to do then? Not a goddamn thing. But while we're talking about winners and losers, I tell you who I'm impressed with. The Kings of the bubble, not the Sacramento Kings. I should say the gods of the bubble. And I'm talking about the Phoenix effing Suns. The Phoenix Suns went undefeated in the bubble. And not just like, what was his name? Devin Booker played out of his mind. Devin Booker, by far and large, if we're going to say bubble MVPs, then while we have Dame Dalla, I would say is the MVP, 1A is obviously Devin Booker. That dude has been playing lights out. And like I said, my MVPs, I would say right now, Devin Booker. I mean, well, Dame Dalla, Devin Booker, and the beard, James Harden, right off top. Everybody else, and then TJ Warren, which we'll get to in a sec when I talk about the Eastern Conference. But those three men have been consistent throughout this entire time. I think Dame Dalla had one bad game, and that was the game against the Clippers, which sparked this whole thing off. But this right here, that everything that's been going on, all of this that's going on, like in the Western Conference, everybody was talking about the Phoenix Suns, undefeated Phoenix Suns. They, to me, like, I was just shooketh at how they just came in, dominated. Devin Booker just dominated. DeAndre Ayton, something nasty. And they're without Aaron Baines. And I think that if they had Aaron Baines, they would have even been nastier. Aaron Baines is something else. He didn't even play. But Booker and Bridges. Man. No, y'all won't talk about it, but you love to see it. You love to see it and you love to do it. Listen, all BS aside, right? All BS aside, right now it should be Phoenix and Portland playing for that number one spot. To me, Memphis backed themselves into this corner. They lost the majority of their games. This was on them. They would they fucked this up, okay? They fucked it up. I'm not going to sit here and bullshit you, but they really fucked it up to the point where they probably shouldn't even have been in this game. And I'm probably going to catch a lot of flack for that. And I'm fine. I'll catch all the flack. Bring it on. But the Phoenix Suns and Portland should be playing for this last spot. Because to me, they're the only two teams that earned it. Point blank, period. They earned it. Even Dame Dalla said that the Phoenix should be in it. Memphis about to get their neck snapped off by Portland. They are. I don't doubt this at all. But the other side of this whole dealio is we're going into this Eastern Conference where majority of the stuff in the Eastern Conference was already decided. Majority of the stuff was already decided in the Eastern Conference. And listen, a lot went on. Orlando finally got in. Brooklyn secured their spot. And I called it, though. I said 7-8 is going to be Orlando and Brooklyn because I didn't really see anybody else in the Eastern Conference that was really going to do anything. Because look, when we got into this shit, hold on. Let me pull up the records. Give me a second here. Bear with me. I'm going to pull up the standings because when I remember this shit, see, the Wizards were in it. And the Hornets didn't want to participate. The Hornets felt that they were too far behind, which I'm like, that's bullshit. They could have really just came in. But if the Hornets could have made some noise, I think that would have been fun. But they didn't. Jordan didn't want to do it. He didn't want to risk it. It just wasn't this. So it was the Wizards trying to get that last playoff spot. The Wizards got smoked. They weren't built for it. No Brad Beal. Without Brad Beal, the Wizards weren't doing shit. I don't even know why they came. I mean, I guess because they had to bring a bubble team or whatever the case may be. But without Brad Beal, that the Wizards are a trash-ass team. They were like the punching bags of the NBA. The Magic Nets. So it goes Bucks, Raptors, Celtics, Pacers, Heats, Sixers, Nets, Magic. First round, Bucks, Magic. Sweet. Done. That's it. Second round, Raptors, Nets. The Nets are healthy. The Nets are real healthy. The Nets just might take them to six. Maybe even seven. If you're nasty, that might be something to look out for. Caris LeVert is on a rampage. Celtics Sixers is going to be a bloodbath, and that's going to go to seven games. No doubt about that. That's a seven gamer. But wait a minute. I don't know. No Ben Simmons. That's a problem. That's going to be a huge problem. And then off the heels of that, you got Pacers Heat, which is going to be a freaking bloodbath. Jimmy Butler and TJ Warren. And I want to talk about TJ Warren for a second. TJ Warren was a free agent before this whole bubble shit stuff popped off. TJ Warren was a free agent. TJ Warren was supposed to be just bench filler. But then Oladipo got hurt. Oladipo because they wanted to stress him because the Pacers already knew they were in the playoffs. So it wasn't no big deal. TJ Warren comes in and says, I got it. And he would just start draining. And it just did whatever the frick TJ Warren does. And everything was fine. And see, I like how this is going to go because everything was fine. TJ Warren was being TJ Warren and dropping, you know what I'm saying, 30-point games, 40-point games. And then they ran into the buzzsaw that is the Miami Heat, which to me is the most underrated team in basketball right now. I'm telling you, Eric Spoelstra's defense is no fucking joke. No fucking joke. They are the most underrated team in basketball right now. That is not an opinion. That is a fact. Everybody's sleeping on the Heat. The Heat are a lot better than what y'all think they are. The Miami Heat, again, are the most dangerous team in basketball by a long mile. Turn up my volume. There we go. By a long mile. Like, it's not even close. Not even freaking close, man. Hold on. There we go. I got to share. Hold on. I'm trying to get a little share action going on, but I think I got to go to the page. I'm going to see it. Make sure some of y'all see it. Make sure y'all join up. There we go. Hold on. I know some of y'all got some comments. Hold on. Give me a second. Give me a second, y'all. Give me a second. Share. Yeah, there we go. Sorry. So, the Miami Heat are without a shadow of a doubt, the most dangerous team in basketball. Their defense is solid. Their depth out is insane. Kendrick Nunn is back. He passes COVID protocol testing. He's straight. Goran Dragic is going to be coming off the bench. Jimmy Butler's there. Bam Adebayo. And then Andre Iguodala, king of playoff basketball. Kelly Olynyk at the center. This team is nasty. The Heat are nasty. The freaking Miami Heat are nasty. And for those that are doubting, I don't know why you're sitting there doubting. The Miami Heat. And they got young cats. They got Tyler Herro. They got Myers Leonard. They got Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder has been amazing. What they've done is they've rotated the lineups with Jay Crowder and Jimmy Butler alternating between the guard and the center, and those dudes have been absolutely phenomenal together. Jay Crowder, one of the most underrated cats in sports right now. I love Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder was doing his thing, and I was like, yo, this dude is a baller. Like, he does all the good things right. And then we come and we got Jimmy Buckets. And you see him and TJ Warren beefing. I love it. You gotta love it, man. That is some amazing stuff. So then we gotta turn around. Then we get into the Western Conference. Let's go back. So then the rounds are gonna go like this. Okay. We got Lakers versus the winner of Blazers and Grizzlies. That's on deck. Clippers, Mavs, Jazz, Nuggets, and Rockets, Thunder. The trail, how this all goes is really going to be dependent on if the Blazers or the Grizzlies get in. I'm looking at this. Clippers Mavs is going to be something else. That's going to be a seven gamer very easily. Nuggets Jazz, the Jazz aren't as good and they weren't as good as in the bubble as they were in the regular season. The Nuggets are going to come in and I think they're going to stomp them out in four because with Michael Porter, Michael freaking Porter is balling his ass off. Michael Porter is balling his fucking ass off. And then Rockets Thunder. This is going to be something else, bro. This is this whole thing. But everything's dependent on what happens between the Blazers and the Grizzlies. If the Blazers win, which I'm pretty sure that they will. I'm pretty sure that they'll beat the Grizzlies this weekend. But if the Blazers win, Lakers and Blazers are going to go to seven. And if Lakers-Blazers go to seven, The Rockets of Thunder are going to pick them dudes apart, whoever the winner out of that one. But you love to see Rockets-Lakers in the second round, but don't tell Dame Dolla that. He's going to come around and upset some folks. He's going to come in and break some hearts. You love to see it. And it's just amazing. So my winners – I'm going to talk about my winners. Luka Doncic has proven that he belongs in the NBA with his bubble performances. Very consistent, been doing his thing. I know we talked about Luka in the podcast, but Luka is a surefire. To me, he's the next a lot of people. Somewhere between Magic and Larry. That's how good it is. He didn't have the three-pointer skills like Larry, but he can work on that. He has European ball skills. Really, really good. Luka belongs. James Harden, easy winner. Dame Dolla, easy winner. My losers, I'm going to be straightforward with this one. The Spurs, for the first time in 22 years, will not be in the playoffs. This is what happens when you start the race late. This is what happens. And the best part about it is part of it's not even their fault because they play less games because they're in the middle of the freaking country. So when this all happened, they were already two games back. And the Spurs played some decent basketball, but it wasn't enough. And That is what it is. We all didn't predict COVID. But this is why you play good basketball, you win games, and you don't have to worry about things like this happening. Because if you ask me personally, I don't think the Jazz are good enough to be in it. I'd easily replace the Jazz with the Suns and the Spurs. Very easily. And I wouldn't feel bad about it at all. Not at all. The reality of the situation is that they should, like, you play these games. And you only get one opportunity to win these games in every game. You gotta win. It's sad because I love Pop. But I said it earlier this year. At the end of last year, going into this year, I said that the Spurs, with as good as everybody's being, the Spurs are going to be the odd man out. And I was right. Surefire loser, the Pelicans. The New Orleans Pelicans, they wanted Zion Williamson in the playoffs. They didn't want Dame Dollar in the playoffs. They wanted Zion Williamson. The NBA wanted Zion. The coach, Alvin Gentry, didn't want Zion. Zion lost weight, still didn't get his shit up, still couldn't play ball, and then we are where we are. So the New Orleans Pelicans got their swift exit out of the playoffs. The Kings came in playing average ball. And by playing average ball, they got average play. And by getting average play, they didn't find a star except De'Aaron Fox. I remember when people were talking about Buddy Hield was going to be the next Steph Curry, and I laughed. I'm like, really? Next Steph Curry? No, sorry. And I was right. He's nowhere near fucking Steph Curry. Who the fuck decided to make that proclamation? Definitely a loser in that one. Wizards, biggest losers of all. Once they figured that Brad Beal wasn't going to be in, they shouldn't even have just decided to participate. And that is something else, man. Kemba Walker showed out in this restart. The Celtics as a whole showed out. Their front four, I can't speak about their center because they play either Cantor or the other dude, and it's like, Cantor or Theis. Theis is good. Don't get me wrong. But you know the Celtics' main four is Walker, Hayward, Brown, Tatum. That is one of the most dangerous front fours, like the most dangerous fours in the history of basketball right now. It's very underrated. And that squad is going to – I don't know. That is going to be something else. See, I'm speechless. I'm speechless, but I'm so excited that we got this opportunity to get this going. And – I'm thoroughly impressed by what the NBA did. My hat goes out to them, and there's still more. That's the best part. There's still more to come. There's still more action. So, if anything we've learned is that one thing's for sure is that nothing's for sure. The Phoenix Suns went undefeated and still not going to make the playoffs, which is probably the saddest thing that basketball will ever have to deal with. But we know how good the Suns are now, so it's going to be expected come next season. All right, so happenings next week. We got the NFL preview shows popping off. We're gonna record the whole set probably this weekend, drop them off week by week until the season starts. So you can look forward to that. Past that now, because we're still going to be doing the weekly shows. Past that, as you can tell, I've been testing my camera setups, trying to make different things happen, and it's working. Shout out to myself. Pat on my own self back. Thank you very much. But make no mistake, this is going to be coming up on season 4 of the show. Season 4 is probably going to be the biggest show in the history of our show. We're doing things the right way this time. We got setups. We got cameras. We got all that. Hopefully, the plan is to have a whole roundtable coming up real soon. A nice little roundtable show. We're going to have to be socially distant when we do the show, of course. We're going to have to. But I'm going to bring a few friends on, bring in like a roundtable and make some things happen. I'm hoping that it works. It's my plan. I'm striving to bring you guys the best possible show that we can, given the budget. I am not rich. Nobody pays me to do this show except the advertisers for the podcast. But we're going to grind, and we're going to hustle, and we're going to dig deep. So, again, we're going to be doing something a little different come beginning of September. You're going to see some new faces on here. So who knows how that goes. But I will definitely always be here to rock with you. There will be All the Way Wednesdays when we talk about all the sports. So we're not sleeping on anything. Football's going to be back. I'm excited. I'm excited for y'all, really. I'm really excited for y'all because y'all going to enjoy this. I set out when I started to do this show, I just wanted to be the Sports Center alternative. I wanted to be non-Sports Center. I wanted to be the show that we were like, I don't want to watch Stephen A. Smith. I don't want to watch Shannon Sharpe, even though they're entertaining. Let's see Hollywood J. Black provide some input. Let's see a different side of things. And that's what we did. And that's what we're going to continue to do. But we're going to add some shtank. So, anyways, hopefully it's 11 o'clock right now. I'm about to hop off this thing. I want to tell y'all thank you very much for watching the Overtime Sports Show today. We will be back Monday with more playoff predictions. NHL playoffs are kicked off, and we got to get right to it. So until then, this is your boy Hollywood J. Black signing off. We are out this bitch. Deuces.